our reading is taken from the New Testament, from the book of Luke, Gospel according to Luke, reading tonight in chapter 10, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. We're going to begin reading at verse 30. The reading commences there. We're going to finish at the end of chapter 10, verse 30 to verse 42 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. If any of you are using a church Bible, it's found on page 1026. So don't turn through them all, just go to page 1026 directly. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him back to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Amen. God will bless the reading of his holy and precious word for the Saviour's sake. With our Bibles opened at Luke chapter 10, let's unite in prayer as we ask the Lord to come now and particularly to speak to us from his word and bless that word to us. Lord, this night we thank thee that thy word is what it has always been, thy word is truth. And we thank thee that the entrance of thy word gives light. We need light, Lord, this night, and we pray that it might enter every heart to the edification of saints, to the salvation of sinners, to the glorification of thy name and honour, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. The Gospel of Luke at chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" It is a matter of fact that there are great differences of approach to the Christian life that exist among the disciples of the Lord Jesus. And the history in this short portion of God's word is indeed a case in point. There are many differences between these two women, both sisters, Martha on the one hand and Mary on the other hand. For instance, Mary is more contemplative and meditative than Martha on this occasion. In contrast to that, Martha is busy with the hustle bustle of service. Mary sits at Christ's feet, while Martha is busy serving, doing other things. There's a difference of approach to the Christian life amongst the disciples of the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord does bear patiently with his children, and as we learn from the example of Martha, bears patiently with us in our sins and shortcomings, and that he is always seeking to improve us, always seeking by his grace to conform us to his image, always seeking by the operation of God the Holy Spirit to bring every thought in our minds into captivity to the mind of Christ. and so bless us abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. In this passage of Holy Scripture which we're looking at tonight, we're going to consider Martha. That's our topic for meditation, and we're going to look at her activity, see what she did, how she responded to the business which she was dealing with, and how the Lord approached her and dealt with her with regard to her attitude in service. There are three things that are brought to our attention in this text. First, we see Martha wrong in her stance. Secondly, we see Martha not only wrong in her stance, but we see her restless in her service. And then finally, for her comfort, we see her rebuked by the Savior. Wrong in her stance, restless in her service, rebuked, and that for her improvement, rebuked by her Savior. Now look at how Martha was wrong in her stance. In Martha's attitude, there was a tendency here to concentrate upon the outward in service. Verse 40 says, "But Martha was cumbered about much service." Now, no one could accuse Martha of being indolent or slothful. No one could point the finger at this woman and say concerning her, she was half-hearted about what she did. No, rather than that, she was a person who worked, yes, and who worked well. It wasn't simply that she was active, but she put her whole heart and soul into it. What she did to the best of her ability and the best of her resources. So there's nothing here in that sense which we could criticize about Martha. She was one who had taken to heart that great biblical principle, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. She was not like some who have the attitude that anything is good enough for Christ. No, no, she wasn't like that at all. She was engaged in much serving. She was cumbered, in fact, about much service. And yet, at the same time, there is more to service than that. More to service than simply doing it well. More to service than simply the outward part of it. We may do a thing outwardly. We may do it well. We may do it even with the high motive and desire to glorify God Almighty. And yet at the same time, we're not to think that externals are precious. Mere externals are precious in God's sight, or the thing that matters the most. God looks not merely at the appearance of things, but as the Bible tells us, he looks upon the heart of a matter. He looks on the heart, and to have that in mind is an important thing. We may have the best of music in a church setting. We may sing well, and that's good and right and proper, as best as we can do. But to sing well is one thing. However, isn't it a better thing to make melody in our hearts? To pray with liberty of speech is reckoned to be a good thing. Yes, and an encouraging thing when we hear it. And yet, that liberty of speech is absolutely meaningless and fruitless if we're merely drawing near to the Lord with our lips when our hearts are far from him. To preach the word of God is good. To preach the word of God, moreover, eloquently is reckoned by many to be a desirable thing, to speak with the tongue of men and of angels. But where the preacher's heart is not in what he says, however well he may say it, however eloquent the speech, that ministry will fall to the earth meaningless. He must not only speak the truth, he must speak it out of love for the Savior and out of love for those to whom he ministers. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, says the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I am nothing. So you see, there's more to service than merely the externals of service. Moreover, we see as we look at the wrong stance of Martha that there was in her a tendency to criticize others who had given care to the word of God. Verse 40 it says again, she says to the Lord, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve?" Whereas Mary, her sister, was sitting at the feet of Jesus, verse 39, and she was hearing his word. There's no doubt that Mary had chosen the better part. Jesus actually says that. She was ready to hear, she was ready to receive, she was ready to listen, to learn, and to go in the way that the Lord commanded her. But Martha seems to have counted her sister impractical and, yes, even idle. There are those who have the same attitude as Martha. They consider doctrine a secondary thing. They treat the Word of God as second place. Consider as insignificant or perhaps even useless those whose chief love it is, chief desire it is to know the truth of God and have it buried deep within their hearts. Martha would have Mary come away from listening to Christ and join with her in her activities. It may have been an exaggeration of Martha to say that her sister was giving her no help whatsoever. But at the same time, there are those who take that principle just to the extreme, so to speak, and who would, like Martha with regard to her sister, who would forgo God's truth and expect others to forgo God's truth and do the same as they are doing, all for the sake of united action. Let's remember, however, that to know and to love the gospel and the truth of God's word is no mean thing. The Bible tells us, doesn't it? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. What does the psalmist write in Psalm 1? Happy is a man whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates in that law day and night. It's that man who grows spiritually. It's that man who is really prepared to be active for Christ. It's that person who is really blessed. It's that person whose service is a blessing rather than a burden to them. The psalmist went on to write at the end of Psalm 1 concerning that man who loves the word of God and who, like Mary, sits at the Lord's feet and hears his word. He says concerning that person, that man or that woman, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And where there is, brethren and sisters in Christ, an uncompromising love of the truth and of the God of truth especially, the child of God will therefore by that be ready to serve him. He mustn't serve without first hearing the word, nor must he hear and not serve. See, it's Spurgeon summed it up in a nutshell when he said, would to God that we could be both active and studious, both learn with Mary and work with Martha. Martha was not only wrong in her stance, Martha was also restless in her service. Verse 40 says she was cumbered. The word literally means in the New Testament Greek, she was drawn or means to draw from around. In other words, her attention, instead of centering around the person of Christ who was there present in her home, was drawn this way and that way by one thing and another. She was distracted with her work, though it was a good work in many respects. She was busy, and by her business, she had no time to listen to Christ. She deemed her work legitimate, and in some respects it was legitimate, but when she took the idea into her head that it would be put ahead of listening to Christ and sitting at his feet to hear what he had to say to her, then her attitude was less than legitimate. And nothing is right or proper, nothing is legitimate to the Christian that draws him away from the Word of God after those times in which he should be alone, sitting at the feet of Christ, hearing him and in fellowship with him. Affairs of the home, they are important. God does not expect that we should neglect them. Affairs of the church are important. God does not expect that we should neglect them either. But while these things have their place, they are not to take the place of meditation and communion with the Lord. Affairs of the home must be dealt with, and affairs of the church must be dealt with, but not at the expense of meditation and communion. That is an important lesson for us to learn. But look again at her restlessness in service. It's indicated by two other words in verse 41. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. The word is literally, thou art divided. Verse 41, the word is troubled. The word there can be also translated, you're in tumult. The word careful, I think, seems to denote to us the inward uneasiness of her spirit. Whereas the word troubled, on the other hand, denotes the outward confusion and bustle in her life. You see, in her anxiety and in all her activity, her heart was divided, her heart was troubled. It was beginning to show in her outward expression. And by it all, her anxiety, and by this anxiety which she suffered, she had misjudged many things. She had misjudged her service, she had misjudged her sister, and she had misjudged her Savior. In her restlessness of service, she had misjudged her service, first of all. She had misjudged the importance of it. She hadn't realized that things belonging to the outward service of God could distract her minds, even the mind of her who was a loving Christian in many ways and did love her Lord. She also had misjudged the importance of her service in another way. I am left alone, she says, to serve. It is true that she was alone, but in bringing herself or being alone and mentioning her being alone, she brings herself to the fore. She desired that her service would be recognized as her service. She wanted it to be a credit to her and to be commended, and she felt that if it was not commended, then she would not have been treated properly. Christians are sometimes like Martha. We want what we do to be praised. We are grieved when it's not. Look how much I have done, says one. No one has paid attention to it. But at the same time, we've got to recognize that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Yes, her service would be, the Lord would acknowledge it. The Lord would not ignore what she had done. The Lord would not pass it by as if it was unimportant. But she had got to recognize that she was not to neglect fellowship with the Lord for the sake of service. She misjudged the importance of her service. Moreover, she not only misjudged her service in her restlessness of spirit, she misjudged her sister. It says in verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she said to the Lord, "Do you not care that my sister has left me alone, or left me to serve alone?" She implies that Mary had abandoned her for something of lesser importance. Think of that for a moment or two. And she boldly speaks out, as if her sister Mary was wasting her time sitting at the feet of Christ. Martha had become so distracted by what she was doing that she turned on the person who had done her no harm, her own sister, but whose example to her, if she had followed it, would have been tremendous benefit to her at that time. Jealous of her sister's quietness, jealous of her sister's peace of heart and mind, she wished Mary to be like herself. "I have no rest. Why should Mary have rest?" And so she misjudged her sister. More than that, in her restlessness, she also misjudged her Savior. That was the worst thing. And she says in verse 40, "Lord, don't you care? Think of it." She puts the question to her own Redeemer and to her own Creator indeed. "Don't you care?" She's looking right into the face of Christ as she said it. We can almost imagine her with a finger, the hand stretched out, saying, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you think about me? Aren't you concerned about my trouble, my worries, my difficulties, my service? Don't you care, Lord? Don't you care? Aren't you feeling for me? Is there no thought in your heart for me? Look what I'm doing. Don't you care, Lord?" She misjudged her Savior. The question here implies that the Lord had neglected her. That was a terribly sad and terribly wrong thing, because it wasn't the thing that the Lord had done to her. It was that which she had done to him. She was the one that had neglected. She blamed the Lord for the very thing that she was guilty of. It was her that had departed from him, not vice versa. And the Lord had heard words like this on other occasions, of course. Do you remember that time when the disciples were going across the water and there was a storm, and the wind was blowing down upon the ship, and the sea was heaving, and the waves were tossing into the boat in which they were travelling across the water, and they come to the Lord, and they wake him up, and they say, "Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? The boat's about to sink. Our lives are we're about to be drowned. We're about to be no more. Our life's about to be taken from us. Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus woke from his sleep, and he stood up, said, "Peace, be still." Yes, the Lord did care. They ought to have known that he cared. They were so taken up with the outward appearance of things that they forgot that he loved them. How easy it is for us to do the very same thing as they did and as Martha did. So taken up with outward things, so taken up with activities and so on and so forth, so taken up with our difficulties, bearing the burden and the heat of the day, that we forget that the Lord does care for us. Martha said in her situation, "Lord, as if it's no concern to you that I'm so burdened." And sometimes, isn't it true that our difficulties in life, our difficulties in our service for the Lord Jesus, are of our own making? We take our eyes of the Savior, and when we do this, we're blind to our own faults. We may even think that the Lord has neglected us. How could we possibly think such a thing when we stand at the cross of Calvary, when we view him with his nail-scarred head, or with nail-scarred hands and feet, when we see him with a crown of thorns upon his head, when we view him whose visage is marred more than any man and his form more than the sons of men, and then when we go to the garden and think about the empty tomb, and then when we look heavenward by faith and see Christ sitting upon his throne, pleading for us day by day, making intercession for us, how could we possibly think that he doesn't care? Haven't we got sufficient evidence of the Lord's love, and haven't Martha? He had come into her home. He had graced that home by his presence. Not everybody had that favour. Dear Christian, tonight, don't become hardened against the Lord when you're burdened. Remember his continued faithfulness to you, and remember that wonderful assurance of the Word of God, that he is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love which he has showed towards his name. Would that Martha had remembered that at that time in her life. Now notice not only that Martha was wrong in her stance, notice not only that she was restless in her service, misjudging her service, misjudging her sister, misjudging her Savior, but thirdly and finally, she was rebuked by the Savior. And the rebuke is characterized by certain things. It's characterized first by solemnity. The rebuke was solemn. Martha, he calls this poor woman to halt. See how he repeats her name. Spice over it, he says, Martha. And often the Lord spoke to people by name. Quite often in the Bible, in fact on 7 occasions, he mentions people's names. He duplicates the person's names as he calls to them, in order to emphasize the urgency of their case, in order to call them to halt, in order to show them the importance of what he had to say to them. Quite often in the Bible we hear him calling out the name of a man or a woman twice. Remember the Abraham on the Mount, when he's about to plunge the dagger into the heart of his son and sacrifice, the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, that is, called to him out of heaven saying, "Abraham, Abraham, don't slay your son." Same happened to Jacob in Genesis 46 verse 2. God called him by his name twice. And to Moses in Exodus 3 verse 4. To Samuel, and the Lord called him for the fourth time, "Samuel, Samuel." God had a word for him. What about Simon? "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee." The Lord called up Simon Peter twice. Saul on the road to Damascus, when he's going to kill the Christians in that city, or arrest them at least, and get them put into prisons, then slaughtered afterwards. And he's about to enter that city, and the light shone from above, light above the light of the midday sun. And the Lord Jesus, risen from the dead and exalted from glory, speaks to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" But here, in our text, is the only woman whose name the Lord repeats in the Bible. This woman called Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled by many things. Sometimes the Lord has to call to us strongly, perhaps through providential events in our life, just to call us to halt. Because he's got something to tell us. He wants us to take stock. So he calls us up sharply. He calls not us only personally, but he's calling this world. He says in the word of God in Jeremiah, "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." Would that the earth would hear. Would that we would hear in our own hearts and souls. So when we hear, we live. The rebuke was solemn. The rebuke was not only solemn, it was straightforward. Go to verse 41. And the Lord puts his finger upon the matter. "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." The Lord saw Martha as she really was. Martha's not condemned for her household activities, far from it. In fact, the Bible actually commends that type of thing. Remember what Proverbs 6 verse 6 tells us? Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Proverbs 10:5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. What does 1 Timothy 5:8, the New Testament scripture say? If any man provide not for his own, but especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So Martha is not condemned, and neither are we condemned for household business, for temporal activities. The Lord does not condemn us for that. But what the Lord rebukes Martha for here is not so much for her serving, or for her much serving indeed, but he puts his finger upon the state of her mind that she had in her work. Thou art careful and troubled, over anxious. Not does he condemn her for the work that she did, but for her anxiety. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. The Lord rebukes her for the state of mind that she had in her work. He wants it to be different, and it can be different. And in the gospel, this thing is promised to the people of God. Oh, that we would grasp it and believe it moment by moment, day by day, year by year. The Lord hath not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but of peace and of love, hallelujah, and of a sound mind. God can give us a sound mind, whatever activity we're engaged in, for his sake. The rebuke was solemn, the rebuke was straightforward. And then finally, the rebuke was also simple. One thing is needful. The Lord doesn't complicate the matter. He doesn't say, well, Martha, you should be doing much more than you're doing. He says, no, Martha, there's just one thing that you need to do. One thing is needful. You should be doing what Mary is doing. You should be sitting at my feet. I've got so much to give you. You've got so much to receive from me, so much that you need. And it's all in me, an all-sufficient Savior. I can give you it. Mary hath chosen that good part, verse 42. Oh, that Martha could have chosen it. How free she would have been from anxiety at that particular point in her life. Now, the thing is this, that as we think about the simplicity of Christ's rebuke, we learn that Mary had given her attention more to the care of the soul than the care of the body, unlike her sister Martha. And that, you know, is the one thing that is needful to relieve us from anxiety. It's to remember this great principle, that the need of the soul comes first, and that other needs come second. Did we not learn that in our motto text a few weeks ago? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these other things shall be added unto you. Moreover, as we think about the simplicity of Christ's rebuke, we see that his advice was that she should follow. That is, that Martha should follow the example of Mary. What was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the table. Mary was receiving from Christ. And you know, that really is the essence of Christianity. I mean, a Christianity that really lives, vibrant, living Christianity. The Christianity of the Bible is in principle a receiving from Christ. And that's the one thing that's needful. One thing for needful for sinners, what is it? It's to come to Christ and receive from him that salvation which is absolutely vital to their eternal welfare. There's nothing more than sinners need that sinners need, but there's nothing more important that is needful to the soul of the sinner than to come to Christ and receive from him that one thing that is needful, the forgiveness of sins and the justifying righteousness of Jesus Christ. But Mary had also learned to concentrate her mind, and Martha was to learn to do that thing. Mary had learned to concentrate her mind. She had gathered everything to a single point, and that point was Christ. And by that, she had learned to enjoy the Savior. That was more important than anything else. The most important thing for the Christian is to focus the mind upon Christ and center everything upon him. One thing is needful. That's it. That's the choice that Christians have got to make. That's the thing which promotes our highest good. Fellowship with Christ around his word brings the greatest possible blessing that we could ever imagine, brings the greatest possible solace that our heart could ever wish for. Communion with our Lord, sitting at his feet, listening to him, learning from him, being willing to be led by him according to the word that he speaks to us. That's the thing that we need more than anything else. And that's the thing which transforms every aspect of the Christian life. That's the thing which enhances the pleasure of service. That's the thing which lightens the cares of life. That's the thing which hallows the duties. That's the thing which strengthens our union one with another and with our Lord. That's the thing which promotes the highest possible good in domestic life and in the life of a church. The one thing that's needful, just to sit at the feet of Christ, to hear what he has to say to us, and to hide his word in our heart, that we might not sin against him. May God help us to take it to heart, and may God help us to look for and to find in our Saviour, as we most certainly shall if we look, that one thing that is needful. May sinners find that one thing that is needful, salvation by the grace of God in Christ. May saints find what is needful, solace of communion with Christ. Mary hath chosen that good part. It will not be taken away from her. May the Lord give us the strength to do the same and choose that blessing which shall never, never, never die.